It's 7 o'clock. We will call to order this meeting of the Village of River Forest Sustainability Commission. Co-Chair Charette?
Yes, present.
Co-Chair Lennon?
Here.
Commissioner Veazey? Commissioner Haley?
Present.
Commissioner Mezzatesta?
Here.
Commissioner Cadlick?
Here.
Commissioner Avalos?
Here.
Student Commissioner Steerwald?
Here.
Great. We have six voting members present. We do have a quorum. First item of business is public comment. We do have one individual here and then a couple of pieces of written comment that have been distributed to all of you. AJ, there's an extra copy for the written ones right there for you. Did you want to come up to the podium and provide your were you wanting to make public comment?
Yeah. Okay. Would you please just first state your name?
Selena.
Full name.
Herrera.
Go ahead.
Yep. I wasn't here for the first meeting, so I kind of want to, listen to the feedback of, considering having leaf blowers during the time period that we're not allowed to have them. I guess just from this year's experience with Oak Park, using electric leaf blowers hasn't been so helpful so far. So we're hoping there's a different consideration or an alternative to be able to use them throughout the summer instead of just the fall. But that's all I can say right now.
Okay. And just to clarify for anybody who's listening in or who listens to these. So we were considering a ban of gas powered leaf blowers, not leaf blowers entirely. So I just wanted to clarify that.
Right.
Okay.
Could you explain, just so I understand what you mean by not so helpful? So what was the experience? You are with a landscape company?
Correct.
What company are you with?
Herrera's Landscaping.
Okay.
Yeah. So in the Village of Oak Park, they said we couldn't use the gas leaf blowers. So far, the expense has been pretty high. Using the electric leaf blowers, it's been difficult only because they ran out of power within an hour and a half, and then it takes 2 hours to charge them, and it just takes away time from us. We can't leave the houses, as clean as we would like to. And our clients are telling us that we're not doing the job that we used to, but, it's kind of hard to let them know, this is kind of, the village is not allowing us to use leaf blowers. We can't use up the whole thing because then the power goes out and we have other clients to get to. And I understand they are allowing us for the fall. But that's just been the difficulty that we've had.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you for taking the time to come and share your comments.
Did you wish to make public comment? And if we could just get your full name.
Sure. I'm Rob McAdam. I'm with McAdam Landscaping. I think my brother, Scott, who's on a green committee, has already sent something in. So I'm basically just here to listen. I wasn't aware of the meeting until this afternoon, but I will just emphasize that the cost is pretty significant. For each, generally speaking, it's the difference between gas equipment and battery operated, whether you're talking a blower or a small mower or a large mower, it's every bit of at least three times the cost for one piece of equipment. So the lady here was referencing the cost, and it is significant. And the other item is that the life of, or the use in terms of time with the batteries is very short. And so when you have one of these pieces of equipment, you're going to have backup. And then when you're on site, you're going to have to probably at some point have charging systems in your trailer or in your truck so that you have that capability to get through a whole day. I guess the frustrating thing for us in Oak Park as a landscape company is that the landscape companies were singled out. And so, you know, this is my personal opinion that, you know, if you were an arborist or you were a paver or you were another contractor, that was okay. But if you were a landscape company, that's where the rule or the ordinance applied to. So it's expensive. I mean, we're a green company. We recycle our soil. We're probably, you know, if you're in the landscape business, you're green. And we do a lot of other things in terms of not just being in the green industry, but recycling soil, making our own compost, doing whatever we can to make the environment a better place. We're not against battery-operated equipment, but it's something that we feel has to be dealt with in the right way and be transitioned because it's, one, very, very costly, and two, it is something that you have to sort of educate and sort of ease in because it's just not the same in terms of operating. So, but I think my brother Scott sent something in so you guys can sort of look at that, and that's about all I have to say. Yeah.
Yeah, about Gary Lennon.
Hey, Gary.
I've been talking to Mark quite a bit. He lives up the alley from me.
Sure.
Since I got you here.
Yeah.
Three questions then.
Sure.
One, and I'll give them to you all at once. You can answer them however you choose to. One, the first one is with the cost. Okay, there's the upfront capital cost, but then there's ongoing operating costs, fuel, and that kind of stuff.
Right.
So what does that look like over a season or 2 years or whatever? What's the payback on? Because I've read things, right? This can be misleading. So the payback's under a year. And that's one question. The second one is how have you managed it in Oak Park this year? Because you're obviously operating Oak Park. Right?
Yeah.
So how have you managed it? And what have been, you mentioned some of the issues, but are they insurmountable or what would you do to your plan for, let's say, next year?
Yeah.
And the third one is, and this is how way we've discussed it here as well. We've talked about this as transitional. In your mind, what does that transition look like?
I don't know. Probably the green committee probably addressed that. I'm not sure. On the first question, the payback. The payback, it depends on the piece of equipment. The bigger you get, the payback is not very good.
Let's just talk whatever you're going to use for blowers, right?
Yeah, for blowers, I'm not sure the payback is a year, only because aside from the gas that we put into it and a little bit of it's usually a mixed gas. Mm-hmm. The maintenance on our blowers is very, very minimal. So the labor with our we have a small engine mechanic and we have a truck mechanic, and the time that's put into the gas-powered blowers really is pretty insignificant. Every once in a while, they have to have an adjustment, and we change out and clean the air filters, and that's about it. Second question you asked was what again? I'm sorry.
What was your experience itself within Oak Park this year?
I mean, well,
even on the numbers, I would have thought, I would think you'd have run numbers and say, okay, you know, we're not buying all this gas and oil and stuff.
Yeah.
And as well as just physically doing the job.
We found out in June because we were pulled over, we weren't aware of the ordinance because we hadn't gotten any notification from the Village of Oak Park. We weren't aware that it had been passed in March, and we found out last June because we were pulled over. And so we had to go out and buy hand blowers. We didn't buy backpack blowers because at the time they weren't even available. And they were a lot more expensive than they are today, but they weren't. So we had to go out and buy hand blowers with at least one backup battery. And so we had to buy several of those unexpectedly. So we had to drop about, I don't know, $6,000 just so that we could continue to work. And there, a hand blower is okay for the small stuff if you don't use it a lot. But when you get into the need for fall or leaves, they just don't have the power and the capability. So the difficulty for us was we certainly weren't going to buy equipment enough for every single crew that we had. So we had a couple crews that work in Oak Park almost every day, but then we have other crews that might only work, you know, one day a week or 2 days a week. And so we found ourselves having to trade off equipment. And then if we have an install, a construction crew that puts in a full new landscape or they do a hardscape, we had to make sure that we had one available for them and change it around. So they basically, we had to do a check-in and check-out every day so that we would have the equipment. And every once in a while, like 2 days ago or yesterday, we barely could get through the day because we had more working in Oak Park than we had the equipment. So we had to sort of trade off. So that was a real big challenge. Spending the money because we didn't want to buy more of those and then find out that down the road, we're going to have to buy a piece of equipment that's got better capability so that we can move leaves in a more efficient way. What we also use in the fall, not just in a home, but a lot of commercial and some of the commercial maintenance we do is not right here. We have a little bit of bigger footprint when it comes to commercial, but we also use these gas powered push blowers, which is what you'll probably see a lot with the asphalt people or the pavers when they go in and clean a parking lot before they actually seal coat it or actually they do the paving. And so those have great power and high efficiency. And so from the time to time, we would also use that, not just a backpack blower. So the third question was? I'm sorry.
We agree with you on transition.
Yeah.
Struggle is, what does that actually look like, though?
That's a good question. I'm not sure how the
and maybe just to help it, you know, or at least our initial thinking has been, okay, let you know the heavy seasons continue to use the gas powered fall, early spring type of thing, and then summer, and then start to transition beyond that once the technology is there. I don't think anyone on this table, they want to raise their hand and say, no, I do, really knows this equipment and what the capabilities are all that well. So we're really relying on people like you that are out there in the field using it to help guide our thinking as to what would that actually look like.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, it's not easy. For one, it's a big cost and it's a big expense in terms of our organizing of our charging systems. I mean, Village of Oak Park, the park district went completely over to all this. Well, they spent a lot of money to have all the trailer or whatever set up for their charging systems, but
I believe they got a grant.
That's basically what I was going to say is they got a grant. Well, you know, a private business isn't going to get a grant. So they used to give us a little bit of a rebate if you went to propane, because we have several pieces of equipment that went to propane because they on mowers because they burn more efficiently. And, you know, propane is a little bit less than gas, usually on average, or maybe not now, but it used to be about a buck less a gallon. So it was pretty, it made sense. But the differential in the piece of equipment, they basically, for about a 3-year period, the state gave you a rebate that pretty much offset the cost differential to go propane versus gas. So I'm not sure. I mean, I wasn't part of the committee that in the Green Committee that my brother was involved with in terms of how they see it, but certainly a slower process and is much better because it's just very, very difficult. It's a big transition, learning curve. I mean, just for our small piece of equipment, we got all these chargers and batteries come in and out and they're not cheap. And we don't know where it is too down the road in terms of what you do when the batteries are no good. We're not sure, you know, the life on these things are different depending on the piece of equipment. You know, they're pretty thousands of hours supposedly on the blowers. And then you get in the bigger machines and it might be 4.5 years and then you've got to, you know, purchase new ones. So.
One of the ideas that we floated around in our discussions of this was to offer for early adapters, maybe do some kind of group purchasing where we might go out and get a better price on these? Is that something you'd be interested in participating in?
Yeah, I mean, we get a pretty good price just because of the relationship we have with a couple of our vendors and the amount of equipment we have to buy. But certainly any kind of a break on the purchase is certainly valuable. Yeah, right. Okay. So anyways, I didn't mean to take people's time up. I just wanted to come and listen, but appreciate the chance to talk anyway.
Can I ask a quick question too? So you've experienced cost increases because of the equipment. Have you passed the cost along to your customers at all at this point?
Because it's still small scale, not too much. No, we haven't done that. We've sort of eaten that, but.
Would you anticipate needing to do that at some point?
Yeah, possibly. Yeah.
Selena, you wanted to make another comment? Can you sir, do the mic? Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, thank you. Appreciate
thank
it.
You, Bob.
Thank you.
Yeah, what I wanted to add on to him, to what he said, as part of the transition to what your question also kind of answers is that we can't, like how it was in Oak Park, it was so sudden. We can't just increase out of nowhere, even though, you know, people are being told as well that this is the new law. Mm-hmm. But certainly it's even the next year or the following year, if we start increasing, you know, we start losing clients, and then that just impacts us more. And also, I guess, a part of just being an increase in spending for equipment. I mean, we bought one leaf blower and our battery stopped working within the second week. And then the battery costs more than the actual, you know, blower. So that, you know, it's really hard. Plus, they're saying that they're backed up and, you know, it's months and it's even more difficult that way. But also, what we are more concerned of is the time consumption in each home when it comes to cleaning, especially aside from cutting the lawn. You know, we trim and all that requires like something to pick up the debris and not just leave it behind. That's kind of implies to the summer work instead of just like leaf, you know, in the fall. But yeah, that's what I wanted to add.
And just to address one of your comments, we're trying really hard to give plenty of warning and to, you know, have a more reasonable transition so that you don't face the same problems in River Forest.
Should we move on to adoption of the meeting minutes then?
Yeah.
So in everyone's packet.
Can I just one question?
Yep.
Bob, you don't need to come up there, but this group you're talking about that your brother's a part of, that's a GLT?
Not C4.
No. Oh,
C4, C4, yeah.
It's a subgroup of C4.
Yeah, oh, Green Landscape Technology.
Yeah. Oh, that's part of the C4 team. Yep. Oh, group. Okay, so we already have connections in
yep.
there.
Yep.
Okay.
All right. In everyone's packet, there's a copy of last month's meeting minutes. I didn't know if I had, you know, anyone caught any typos, anything I missed, needed to clarify.
Yes, page 3, first sentence, where it says from, it should say form. Oh. Actually, the opposite, where it says form, it should say from.
Right at the top there. Got it.
Yeah.
Right. And then do we have a motion to adopt the meeting minutes, including the typo corrections?
I'll make the motion.
And second?
I can second.
All right. Co-Chair Charette?
Yes.
Co-Chair Lennon?
Yes.
Commissioner Vesey?
Yes.
Commissioner Haley?
Yes.
Commissioner Mazzatesta?
Yes.
Commissioner Kadlec?
Yes.
Commissioner Avalos?
Yes.
All right. 7-0. Meeting minutes are adopted. All right. Moving on. Next item of business is the continued discussion of the proposed leaf blower ordinance. So updated draft copy for all of you. I included the draft whereas provisions as well for this one. And so just for your awareness, the letter sent to all of the landscape contractors who sent via mail and via email just included the language text. So there's the section that would amend the landscape code regarding the rebate for early adopters of electric. And then there's the other section, which I would need to talk to our lawyers about where it would go in the village code, honestly, likely in the police powers section. That's where the beekeeping ordinance is. So that was the last sort of standalone thing added. So that would be my best guess, but that would apply universally, is that
action. And for both of you present here, if you haven't seen it, this is our proposed ordinance. It's publicly available on the Village of River Forest website under the Sustainability Commission, the agenda packet for tonight's meeting.
And it's draft. It's work in progress.
So yeah, I just wanted to open it up for your all's discussion. Any comments on the draft, the whereas provisions, or did we want to any other comments?
Well, I know I'm going to be the outlier here, but we've tried to soften it so that it's not going to be too much of a burden. And we can talk about lengthening the time period to bring it in and so on. But I still think it's going to be a real burden on the landscape companies. And I mean, I guess we just have to decide how important this is in the scheme of things. I'm finding that a lot of going green, and I'll have a comment later on in the meeting on a different topic, but sometimes these things aren't very realistic. And when you really examine what you get versus what you pay, whether it's in how do you recycle batteries or the fact that using electricity, if it's not clean electricity, you know, who are we kidding? If the electricity was generated by coal, when we talk about using more electricity and so on, I just think it's important to really examine the true cost of not just this, but anything else that we're putting forth. And we all mean well. These are all really good ideas, but sometimes when you really examine the entire cost, you know, I'm not sure that we're doing the right thing. I toss and turn.
Well, I think one thing, and I don't know, maybe it'd be easier for the two of you to follow if we just sort of outlined it. So what we're thinking about for the first year for 2025 is to provide more of an incentive program than a ban. So waiving the landscaping fee for early adopters who choose to commit to using electric leaf blowers in River Forest, and then also providing an area on our website where residents who are interested in having electric leaf blowers can actually find you. So you might find that you have an increase in number of customers if you do it. And you might also find over time that consumer demand is going to be such that they don't want people blasting these. You know, my personal experience today was I had about 15 minutes to be outside. And unlucky for me, that's when my neighbor's yard, which didn't grow anyways, it's pretty much dead, but they came in anyway with the leaf blower and blowed for 50 minutes, not at low speed, I would add. And, you know, that just blew my tranquility. So, you know, I have chosen that for myself. And I think over time, more people will too. So I would say that one part of this is that the consumer might be moving in this direction. And so providing incentives for contractors that work in River Forest might seem like, you know, we're penalizing you in some way, but it might be helping you to adapt to what is an inevitable future. So that's just another way of looking at this issue. I guess that's it.
Can I ask a question? When I read this, I know that there's some definitions in the first couple sections kind of the benefits or the like kind of reimbursement and the fee stuff relates to specifically lawn maintenance contractors, and later on it just references leaf blower use. Is the leaf blower use, is that subsection 3 like related just to lawn maintenance companies?
No, that would be universally applied. That would be its own standalone section. That's the one where I'm not sure exactly where in the village code it would be codified at. It probably would not be under specific, like contractor specific, because that would apply to residents, to other sorts of contractors. And I've talked with our staff of if some of these pass, we needed to just, you know, add a provision for our, you know, construction bids that if they can't use gas powered leaf blowers, if they're blowing off the sidewalk, the street, something like that. So yeah, that section 3 would apply universally.
Okay. So as drafted now, this would cover personal use too.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Okay. Okay.
Are there any other comments? So the only thing I wanted to add to this is that in terms of the process, it was, we're going to discuss it here, send it out to the lawn care service, which I'm completely in favor of, and then wait for a community survey. I just find in general community surveys are pretty indecisive, and so I wondered if we might want to drop out that provision of it.
I just think it's important to get that input, whatever it may be, right? I mean, I agree with you. Surveys are notoriously bad, which is why they offer all kinds of incentives for people to reply. Let's be at 10-20%. That's all we get. But at least you've asked. And that's would be my thought. I don't know what anybody else's thoughts would be.
I agree. I feel like we should test the waters before diving headfirst in. Just to, again, if it's just 10%, at least we have a small sample size.
And we are planning on sending the survey out fairly soon, so I don't think it would delay things very much by doing that. And if someone does say, gee, why didn't you ask us? Well, then we did. And if they don't respond, well, you know, hey, we asked.
Yeah, last meeting, Susan, don't know if, I can't recall if it was even in the minutes, but we talked about being able to have this pretty well wrapped up in October. So,
which gives plenty of warning for, it's not going to go into effect till next year. Okay, are we ready to vote on this?
Because
it's just a draft, so we're just sending
just
it.
Just a draft.
All right, proceed. Yeah. Let's go to the next topic.
I guess I would have one, because I didn't realize, thank you for the letter, that C4 had an entity that included working on this.
Yeah, they've had a few, I guess, virtual meetings, like Zoom call things, tried to get input. There was one in-person one I attended. I believe it was in, I don't know if it was Broadview or Bellwood, one of the Proviso communities that I know. Somebody from McAdam was out at.
Well, the question I'd have is this laying out this transition part of that agenda?
It's a lot of it has been trying to, I guess, connect resources, like just provide information on what green technology is out there, things like that. So I can look up what the most recent sort of, I'm pretty sure I have access to like the meeting packets in the Google Docs, but
I guess I get to my punchline. Yeah. I was just wondering if there's something that they're doing that we can tag along with versus doing it separately. That's really
exactly. I was thinking the same thing.
Yeah, let me look into that. I don't know if there's been any sort of like concrete multi-community plan for adoption or anything. It's more, at least for the ones I've attended, just sort of general discussion on how do we make these transitions? How do we make it equitable?
Yeah, it doesn't need to be multi-community, but is there some general consensus so that we aren't, every community is not trying to figure it out for themselves?
That's exactly what I was thinking.
So
yeah. And are any of the communities in that group, have they already put something into place? It was very valuable to hear about dealing with Oak Park. Yeah. If there's other communities in the group.
Well, having
Oak Park is the one that I'm aware of. I know, I believe either Riverside or Brookfield, I believe, is pretty active in this working group, so I'll need to check with them. Then I know with some of the discussions, some of the proviso communities, especially with leaf blowers, have laughed and said, like, no, we use rakes. Like, that's been...
Well, having them run around the community.
It's better for your lawn.
Not fan.
Yep, yep.
Not fan of blowers at all.
I actually wanted to comment on what you said about, you know, how you heard, like, leaf blowers going off. Actually, that's kind of what I was thinking about, you know, coming to some sort of, like, agreement where, because I'm a landscaper, but I also understand about using multiple leaf blowers in one house and just having it accelerate to a certain point where it's just, even for me, I can't handle it. So it's, like, kind of coming to an agreement about using... leaving one leaf blower, you know, per house, not have multiple people going. Like, I've seen one house have three people use a leaf blower in the same, for the same garbage, because we use rakes and, you know, we enforce it, you know, because that's how you should be working. You shouldn't just have to deal with the leaf blowers, because we're trying to keep the peace, and we know people work at home and, you know, keep the noise down. So that's, I totally understand what you're saying. So it's kind of just, you know, making other landscapers understand that there should be, like, a middle ground, you know, for, yeah, to help us continue working and not just have equipment just banned from us and then having you guys, you know, be at peace with us, you know, like,
yeah.
So, yeah.
No, I think that's important. And that's why we're trying to work together on this and, you know, say use the lower settings. And I think even though we're approaching this from a more of an environmental perspective for residents, the bigger issue is the noise. And so any efforts to reduce the noise are going to be well received.
Definitely. I took that from the very beginning. I know it wasn't just go green, you know. And I work with other villages, like at other locations as well. Yeah. And we haven't had that come down on us. We just know that, like, Oak Park was right away. We got a citation and, you know, that was already a toll adding to it. So it's kind of, you know, if we get that here too, maybe it should be if, you know, someone tells you, hey, there's like three people going off with the leaf blower at the same time, then, you know, we get a citation.
Yeah, no, we intend to give plenty of,
we're
understanding that this is, but we're intending to give plenty of notice. And also, you know, as we just said, we're going to seek feedback on our draft and we'd be very open to all of your suggestions, because none of us are professionals. So we know that you are the experts in this area.
All right. Moving on to the community survey. So I have a printed out version of it in your packet. It's most of the pages of the packet. I did send out a test version. I hope everyone was able to do. I saw Manolo. I saw you were having some access issues, but I should have granted you access. And I did send it to Luis and Jamie previously. So hopefully we got a few test runs of it.
I could only do it once, though, because it told me I had already filled it out.
Oh.
It wasn't in a test mode. And I thought, I'm pretty sure the tool.
Clearly, it's. I'm.
Yeah. Well, I couldn't test. I tested the renter path. Yeah. I couldn't test the other paths. So there may still be things that need to be corrected in terms of the flow.
Yeah. And that was one of the things I sort of wanted to bring up is. The sort of easiest way I got it to work was just sort of one question per page. And I don't know if that was like too clunky to have to click through and if I should sort of break it into sections and basically have these sort of branching pages of by topic. But I know one of the issues is we get into is with the vehicle stuff is there's branches even within that one section.
Yeah.
So,
and Seth, if I could just take a minute.
Yeah, go for
explain.
It.
Because you may think that it was radically changed and there were things I had to leave out. That one list was just way too long.
Yeah.
I've worked with surveys and worked with the software and understand the branching logic and so on. It was arranged so that it would branch in a clean fashion, as clean a fashion as possible. If you're a renter, there's questions you weren't going to answer. And to put an NA on every one of those questions, that's not best practice for surveys. And I will tell you from my personal experience, and I've written a lot of surveys and used, I don't know if we used the same software. If it wasn't the same, it operated the same way. If you have 10 questions in a row or 5 questions in a row that don't pertain to me, I'm a renter. I can't do backyard composting. I don't use the LRS service because I'm not a single family home, for example. Okay. If you have a lot of questions that don't pertain to someone, they should not see it. So the minute you answer renter, the system should be smart enough not to show you any questions that don't pertain to a renter. If instead you have a not applicable option in every one of those questions, after I do one or two or three of those, I'm going to abandon the survey. And I'm telling you, this is absolutely the case from my personal experience with this. So you have to not present those questions. Now, in order to do this, you'll notice the order of the questions is a little bit different than your original. To minimize the amount of branching and programming Seth had to do, it's what we in the programming business call spaghetti code. So you want it as clean as possible. So the questions that pertain to everybody were up front. And for example, I moved transportation up because that applied to everybody. And tried to make it as simple as possible, because debugging it and checking all the paths to make sure it's working correctly is easier if you keep the branching, the amount of spaghetti all around kind of thing, as straightforward as possible. So in some cases, I added an extra question where it was yes or no. And then if you said yes, it went on, and no, you know, I had to restructure it so that it worked well with the survey software and to maximize the likelihood that somebody would finish the survey and not get frustrated and abandon it in the middle, just from my own experiences. But Seth, I didn't hear back from you on, I did find a bug.
Yes.
And I think that's my fault, because I actually wrote a flow chart for Seth. Yeah. And I think my flowchart was incorrect.
And I was, so you can see some of the, in this printed version, some of the question skip logic, but then I had to apply some other page logic on top of it for some of them. And even just looking at this again, I'm thinking through, it was the,
the renter was
renters
asked
and about composting, correct?
Yeah, because most of that does not apply to a renter or a condo. Actually, it's the reverse. The flowchart said if it's a homeowner, single family home, then they're going to answer those questions. Otherwise, they're not.
Yeah. And I was sort of just messing around with it this afternoon, trying to think of ways. And with that, do you rent or own one? It might be easier just to say, do you live in a single family home, or I guess it's technically up to three flats, which there's only like a couple of three flats in the entire village, but are on the village one. So the composting would apply to them.
Yes.
Then, or multifamily four or more, which would cover condos or apartments. And, you know, there could be instances, I am aware of instances where there's individuals who are renting single family homes in the community. So there's,
we can't worry about that.
So I was just thinking of just sort of rewording those answers little bit. There was, I think the public transportation one, I used like the suggested answer, which changed slightly from the one you guys had put forward. And there was a few tweaks like that.
Yeah. I was more concerned about the logic. Yeah. If you felt, I figured you were going to fix the wording where it might not be.
My biggest concern after creating all of this was that it's just too many pages, because it's one question.
Well,
per page.
It's too long. I'm sorry. It really is too much for one survey, but I know we want to know everything that's in it. So
that was my feedback. It's too long.
Yeah, it's too long.
I don't think it would take more than 15 minutes to do, though.
I get bored.
But you're somebody who's motivated. But
There's just so much we need to know, and we only do this like every 5 years.
Well, okay. Well, I'm saying we're going to do it, but you know, some people may abandon it in the middle, and if they do, they do.
At least they know how interested we are in all this stuff. Our passion.
That's true.
Hopefully,
that's
our
true.
Passion will flow through. Yeah. Can I give a few comments?
Yes, absolutely.
Okay, and I'm sorry, this is my first pass. I took a true vacation and unplugged. So on number 4, where it says Facebook, Instagram, since the village is usually in other social media, would you consider just saying social media
yep.
there? Okay. And then I wondered if you wanted to add another option, since some people still get their information from newspapers, so either newspaper or print media or something yep. like that.
A good idea.
And then on that's number 4. And then on number 8, scroll down there so it makes sense. Oh, yep. I was just thinking of changing the order so that the plug-in hybrid is second, since the first two questions send you to another place. It just seemed like a little back and forth to say electric vehicle, then a hybrid. And then, yeah, plug-in is closer to an electric vehicle than.
Yes.
I just switched.
I actually got a call from a resident who just bought a plug-in hybrid and was asking what he needed to do to be able to use the charging station. I like explained the fee and everything. He's like, oh, that's great. Like.
And then on number 16. I just wondered if it might be better to say, okay, so the question says, would you be interested in attending workshops and or receiving information on how to improve recycling techniques? I was just thinking maybe best practices instead of, because I don't know, I just thought it was like mildly condescending. And then on 19, where it says, do you currently practice backyard composting? I thought we also want to capture in this who does village composting. Did you guys already talk about that? Or
we had not.
Okay.
I think this was.
Because, you know, maybe there could be,
Could we change the question maybe? Because I don't want to add more questions if we can help it. But
just add both. Just ask both. Like,
well, have it be a checkbox.
Right.
Instead,
so do you say, currently compost? And then number 1 could be village composting.
Village,
number 2.
Or.
Yeah,
not at all.
Number 2, backyard,
yeah.
or not at all. Yeah.
Yeah, I think that'd be great.
Just because some people might say, I don't backyard compost because I did the village. And
somebody might do both. I don't think so, but you never know.
And actually, I also thought maybe we could add in another option where it says share. I think the survey could also serve to provide information. So somebody might read that and say, oh, I didn't know you could share. So. Yeah. And then if it's okay to just jump over on that, have a lot of people called in about sharing?
I know we've had a couple of signups at least. So the first few I had asked our billing staff to just sort of keep me in the loop as we iron down any of the issues.
Yeah.
But I mean, I've heard them just sort of like talking like, oh no, the sharing's not going on until whatever billing cycle just.
Oh, okay.
So I think they're working through it, and they're I don't know what the
month you could just give us a little report back if that bumped anybody up. Okay. And and then on number 24. Okay. Although I think heat pumps is a more accurate. So this is under, would you consider it switching your home appliances to electric? And the first one says heat pumps. A lot of people in this area know them as mini splits and think of them as only being.
That's one particular kind of heat pump.
A mini split. That's not the only kind of heat pump.
No, not at all.
Yeah. They have big, they look like.
In fact, that's not the most
AC
common
unit. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. I mean, you could, if you wanted to say, heat pumps, including mini splits, is an explanation.
Or have another line that says mini splits. You don't want another line. Okay. No. Well, whatever you guys think. All right. I guess I thought they were the same thing. I thought we just called them mini splits. Okay.
That is one particular kind, but that's not the most common, actually. Yeah. Yeah, because we've got other questions where we've got stuff in parentheses that clarifies. For example, mini splits or.
I thought it was fantastic. I thought it was a really good survey. But as you guys know, I'm quite excited about this topic.
So I guess my thought process in how to just sort of really shorten the number of pages is to maybe have that first section and then maybe have one on transportation, asking just about public transportation EVs. And from there, it'll split into the rest of the relevant ones.
Yeah. And that's why I arranged it that way.
And then same one with composting, just I'll have multiple pages and some of the questions might be redundant, but there'll be sort of, set paths more how you were laying it out, which I thought would be easy to do with just putting the questions in one time. And then I realized this was a few ways to do it. So
I want to make sure that the logic works correctly, but the software, it apparently checks your IP address or something. It somehow identifies, or maybe your computer, I don't know what, but it would not let me do it a second time.
I think I might have, I thought I sent everyone the preview one, but I think I might have sent you a live one. Because I think I got an email response back on it.
Yeah. If you can set it up,
yep.
I will test the logic to make sure that it works correctly.
Do you want to send out it again and we can have another pass?
Yeah, so I'll do some editing tomorrow and then just circulate this all to everyone.
Yeah, and I'll take responsibility for checking the paths that they work correctly.
Are we supposed to tick the boxes on it when you send it? I didn't get that. Are we supposed to actually complete it?
If you wanted to, it was just for you to look through. There were some required. There were some that you could just quickly skip through. So, yeah.
Anything with an asterisk was a required question. So, just so you know.
I read it. I just didn't do anything with it.
Yeah, if you don't want to go through I'll take responsibility for making sure that the logic actually works the way it's supposed to. Yeah, thank you, Seth. You did a fantastic job. I know from doing this myself in the past that it can get pretty tricky, especially when you've got the paths and the logic and everything.
See,
folks, this is what I did.
Yeah.
I spent all day Sunday trying to remember how to use Visio.
Okay. Well, I think you guys did a great job. Thank you, Jamie, for getting this going. Because this was
the hardest part.
No, but you did this. Wow.
It was fun. Yes.
But this is just such valuable information. I think it will really guide us in terms of, where we should be focused.
I just hope it's not a little too long where, people think they're going to go in and take like a 3-minute survey and it ends up being 20 minutes.
Can we tell them at the top? Like a lot of times when I take surveys, they say this survey should take you between 10 and 15 minutes.
Establish the expectation.
Because if you don't have 15 minutes and come back when you do.
Yes. Can you put this at the top?
I think I can.
Okay, perfect.
In this second round,
I'll let you know what the timing should be.
Yeah, should one of us time how long it takes?
I have to go through.
Yeah, why don't we all time it?
Yeah.
I'll ratio.
Yeah, we'll take an average.
One thing I'm wondering about in the survey is, as you're completing it, is there like a progress bar that goes along with it? Okay, because if some people see that the progress bar is not moving much, I don't know if that's like an option.
Good
so.
Idea.
Yeah, that like, excellent. I think there's, I'm sure there's a way I can do that if it isn't already in there. But yeah.
The expert.
How many different topics does the survey address?
Transportation, several. Composting.
It's in the original version. What, 6, 7?
Right. I was just wondering. I haven't got a chance to fully read through it yet. So.
No, it's long.
Yeah, no, I think for us to time it is a good idea. All right. Can we move on to SoulSmart? Does anybody have any more comments?
Just a quick question. What's our plan to get it out?
Newsletters and social media. So if we get it done by early next week, I can put it in next week's weekly newsletter.
So just be clear, when you send something out, we're supposed to go tick all the boxes and automatic record, right?
Yep.
Okay.
So will that be our official response, or will that be a beta test?
I'm going to try and just so it's a test, so everyone can just
that way
make sure
more
it works
and play with
and
it.
Then,
would it be crazy if we put it in the Wednesday Journal, and then
I was
at
just
the
gonna
top
say that.
Said, are you a resident of River Forest?
Let me check with that and ask. Yeah, that might be.
Also, it'd be nice if you guys could get the youth to figure this out, fill this out too. Doesn't it just have to be all the adults in the household, or encourage your, you know,
but you only want one per household. So yeah,
but it's per IP address. Use the phone, use the laptop, use the other phone, use the kid's phone. It's
stack the deck. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. Yes. All right. Now, can we move on?
Yep.
Okay. Soul Smart.
So I put together a memo on Soul Smart, and then just sort of printed out or copied the point designation level. So we currently have the silver level. I was just recently on a Soul Smart webinar that they did for communities interested in leveling up. One thing they did mention was just making sure everything is up to date with what you've already achieved. So we would likely have to have our permitting and inspection staff redo the training, which not that big of an issue. And then I sort of outlined what was needed to go to gold and platinum. And I would note this is something the village president and Trustee Gillis, who's the trustee liaison for this commission, have both expressed to me interest in this and moving up. So it's something that there would be support from the village board for.
What do you
think? A really dumb question, because I'm relatively new to this commission. Who owns the
Soul
certification? Yeah, whose thing is that?
IREC, it's the International Renewable Energy Council. It's nationwide and possibly beyond that, if the I is for international, if I'm getting that acronym right. Organization, I believe they're based in New York. And it's really to promote best practices with zoning, permitting, and then they've recently added this platinum designation, a lot more focus on community engagement and those sorts of things as well.
So Seth, what's needed from this commission to go forward?
I guess sort of my initial thought with you all is, did we just want to focus on achieving gold designation, or did we want to go for platinum?
It sounded like, I read it as though, and maybe it's partly from our discussion versus what I read, that they're so intertwined that you're almost doing them both together.
Yeah, there's a few more additional things that would be needed for platinum, and then we would need to do more of sort of the, for lack of a better term, elective points of what we wanted to pursue. And that is something I would likely need input from this commission on. Gold designation, there's the required ones, maybe a few others that we'd likely already have achieved, just need to sort of document and submit.
What do you think the village would like to do? Village, managers.
So from the village administrative perspective, I guess the thing I would need to do is I'd need to talk to our assistant village administrator who oversees our building department, because a lot of the changes are regarding the permitting process, and the platinum designation requires adoption of it's called SolarApp Plus. It was developed by the Department of Energy. It is this sort of automatic permitting software, or a similar software. Whereas for gold, we would just sort of need to adjust a policy and work with our company that does a lot of our plan reviews to just make sure, like, okay, no, these are require a 3-day turnaround, and then we need to put it on the website.
So my thought is for you to check with them and then, sort of get their recommendation, because we wouldn't want to suggest something that's, we're trying to do so many different things. Wouldn't want to suggest something that's onerous.
Yep.
So maybe you could just check in and we will support.
Yes. And then
I guess the question would be, and maybe it's just a different way of saying what you were saying, Susan, but are there any deal breakers platinum for the village?
And this happened shortly before my time that I started with the village was the silver. There were changes that went through the zoning board. And to get to gold, it would need to be what IREC classified as overly burdensome or restrictive zoning requirements, which the zoning board, I believe, added a provision when it went before them that the panels and the equipment has to sort of match the style and the color of the roof, which they view as too restrictive on. So I think that's one of the potential hurdles. The permitting stuff is the big item that would be the most undertaking is with our building department. And then there were two other things for Platinum, install solar panels at a government facility, which we've have in our capital budget, and our public works director is actively looking into. So we're honestly hoping that for early next year at some point. And then partner with a community-based organization to promote solar for disadvantaged communities. This is, I would need to, you know, confirm it, but it's kind of already achieved with the C4 group. And one of C4's functions is promoting the Illinois Solar for All program, yes. The community solar program, mm-hmm. for specifically geared towards disadvantaged communities. So, and low-income households. So those we sort of already got in the pipe. It's just really the zoning change, which is needed to go to gold anyway. And then, I'll need to check administratively.
I mean, I would think we would want to go for gold, but in terms of choosing between gold and platinum, if we could get feedback from the village administration, that would be really helpful.
Yep.
And I guess in terms of finding out if there's any deal breakers, then maybe part two of that question would be, are they deal breakers permanently, you know, like, forget it, we're never going to do that because whatever, or is it just a matter of maybe at some point in the future, it wouldn't be a deal breaker, you know, what would it take for,
you know what I'm saying? Yeah. And so, yeah, I'd need to check regarding the permitting stuff. And then I guess it would just be, sort of what the views of the zoning board and then the village board based on the zoning board's recommendation for the zoning changes.
That instant permitting, is that like software then?
Yes.
So is that cost money and do we have a budget and
Solar App implementation? Plus is,
that sounds
there is
a lot
of implementation. Solar App Plus is free.
Okay. That's good.
I've tried to research to find communities that use the permitting software that we use and how that works with this. The one example just through random searches that I found was one town in Virginia did it, and you have to go separately through the Solar App Plus, and then you just sort of upload your approval into the permitting software.
Are you saying there's only one village that has platinum right now?
There's
with our software.
Oh no. That's the one that uses our software. They presumably have gold. There's only a single digit number of communities nationwide that have platinum. So I think there was a community in California earlier this year became the very first. The platinum level only rolled out this last year.
Cutting edge. I love it.
Yeah. My only comment, Seth, is, and I agree, let's get the village input on it. But I get real concerned when you look at things very narrowly. It's very easy to sub-optimize. Meaning, just got to have this software. You got to have, you know.
So they gave that as an example.
You can't have aesthetics can't be a part of it, so on and so forth. That's sub-optimization. To me, I've always worked towards, and this would be my proposal here too, is work towards a goal of what we're trying to achieve. And that's to encourage people in an efficient way to put solar in the houses. And if you're doing that, I don't care if you have a shingle to hang on the wall or not. That's my own opinion. I know there's other people that like to have those things. They like the photos and the ceremonies and all that. But that would be the way I would think about it. So if it can happen naturally and maintaining the greater whole of what the village needs to achieve, I'm all for it. But otherwise, I would say let's narrow it down to those things that we got to do to encourage and put this stuff in place efficiently and effectively. That's just my own opinion.
Well, I'd have to agree, because when you start adding all the, I'll just call them aesthetics around the edges, people look at it and they go, too much bother, you know, and you lose sight of the reason you came in to do this, you know?
I think Seth said the opposite. I think he said that the aesthetic requirements in River Forest,
the
are,
current aesthetic requirements
are too are high, that we need to remove them. Yeah. Because it makes them more costly and it's an impediment.
Yeah, program wants less impediments, quicker permitting times. Some of the optional ones are, you know, even less permitting fees and things like that. So, yeah, if you look through the checklist, most of these are geared towards sort of the permitting ones, streamlining the permitting process, the zoning ones, making it easier to put solar in as many places as possible. And then, you know, the other ones are sort of engaging the community on it, working it into government operations.
Yeah, and I don't know what's right or wrong, but I would say you don't want Charlie Brown's Christmas trees all over the place, right? Yeah. And so aesthetics does have a place too. So let's not just throw everything out because we want to achieve that. Yeah. That's my point. Yeah. If we can do it and do it within natural confines of the greater whole, the community, that's what I would look for. I mean, I agree with somebody's backyard doesn't really matter so much, but a lot of them aren't going to be. So,
yeah, I think generally same line of thinking that you're saying, that I think we can kind of, you can see, and when I worked with Eric on getting from bronze to silver, and I think we both felt at the time and made the recommendation that I think the village didn't accept at the time because of the budgeting process, but that some of the permitting fees, the inspection fees, we should focus on those rather than like getting, I don't even think platinum existed then. I think it was just gold, but that would probably be more, have a larger effect than some of the other, like kind of adding different metrics to your website. Like, I think you could probably see a pretty direct potential benefit of, you know, dropping a permit fee, $500 for someone compared to some of the other things on the list. So I guess maybe to turn that into potential feedback, I guess it would be interesting to know if we have that same issue now where I don't think it was necessarily the village board wasn't supportive of it. It was a pretty nominal amount that they made from these. It was like they make $1,500 a year from it. But if we were to decrease that, we would have to budget for it in the next like fiscal cycle. And the timing was poor when we were looking at it. So I think that'd be good to know if there's some flexibility on like the implementing some of the PI criteria.
Really. We also have our EV charger, which is now bringing in revenue. So at least we have some offset.
Yeah.
And well, we're about to install a whole bunch more, right?
Yes. Yeah. So
this guy be a major money maker.
Yeah, just so for everyone's awareness, and I had let Susan and Gary know sort of right after I got initial word, but the sort of official word is out now. We are getting a grant to install 4 direct current fast chargers and 5 dual port level 2 chargers at village owned lots. So there's going to be 2 DCFCs at the Franklin Avenue lot, just a block this way behind the shopping strip there. There'll be another 2 at, there's this, it looks like it's part of the CVS parking lot at North and Thatcher. But the strip of parking between the CVS and the, I don't know if it's condos or townhomes, there is actually a village lot. So we're going to be putting installations there. And then the West Metro lot will get the 5 dual port level 2 chargers. So very early in the process. So we've accepted the award from the state. I'm currently drafting up a request for proposal for the basically electrical engineering design. That will go out, get awarded. Once that's done, we'll get the electrical make ready work. I've had preliminary conversations with ComEd, or the group that works with ComEd for the make ready rebates, about
that when we should apply for those. So that should help cover a good portion of the sort of rework needed. And then I've already fully gotten quotes from ChargePoint, who has this one, about the installation and how many we would need. And so I had spoken to one of them, had coincidentally reached out, somebody from ChargePoint reached out, I think the day I received the award, and I was like, follow up with me in a few months because we've got something coming. So
Is the Metro lot the one adjacent to the depot?
It's the one across the address.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
And I don't know where you want to fit it in here, but I'd like 2 minutes to tell my story. The EV charging issue.
That's actually further down on the agenda, isn't it?
Yeah. I did include the memo.
Because I think it's important that people understand the reality.
I have a quick question too. So I know my employer is looked to getting some installed. Is there any opportunity to partner with businesses in River Forest for like discount, even like if we buy them in bulk, can we use scale to help our businesses within the community to install additional EVs?
And by business, you're referring to Concordia, which is
Concordia, Dominican, I think, was looking to install some too. So students are now coming to campus looking with EVs, and they're like 20 grand a pop. So they're pretty expensive. We can't afford them, and I don't know if Dominican either is having the same problems. But anyway, is there any type of business partnering with the village for like scale, if you potentially purchase?
I think the one thing would just be like, I'll keep a lookout for like, sort of the next rounds of grant funding. And I know with this one, I applied, like if it had been properties outside of the village, we would have needed to have an agreement in place before the application was even submitted. But I think that's something, because I think it was one of the churches had reached out.
I was going to say there's multiple churches too that I think, like my church is looking to put EVs, but it's just they're so expensive for this.
And there
nonprofit.
Is,
yeah,
there is the, I believe there is the charger rebate. I know there's the. Oh no, they don't have a commercial charger rebate. They just have the make ready and the vehicle itself. So there's a residential charger rebate through ComEd, but there's not for businesses. But yeah, I'll keep a lookout for grants and anything of that sort as well. So
another option, and you could reach out to Chris Lindberg at the Park District of Oak Park, that there's a very simple way you can just kind of plug in. It's not fast, but compared to nothing, especially if a student isn't traveling very far.
That's what we've been doing. Like there's just cords, and if there's a safety issue, the location that we kind of have.
I mean he's looking into something which is it sort of looks more like a charger, but it's really just it's just a plug, and it's not fast, but it will get somebody 20 miles or something. Exactly.
Seth maybe heard her question differently, but because you got a grant and that just gives you money, right? Doesn't tell you where to buy it from. You still got to go out and do your bid process and all that, right? So the question that I would have does it make sense? Can the village even do it legally? I don't know, to do a group buy. Maybe just put something out to say, hey, this is the one we're going to buy. Anybody else interested in it? And, so you deal with the companies and you go, you buy five, you get this rate. You buy 10, you get this rate. You buy 20, you get that rate.
And I think another way of looking at that is, can the village use its purchasing power to help help the institutions? And the reason I said Concordia Dominican, because I think you are in a different category compared to, churches also, but as compared to businesses. Yeah,
including the install, I assume you're talking about there too.
So. Yeah, let me look into that more in terms of, Concordia essentially making a purchase at the same time,
using the scale to potentially. Yeah. And I think, like I said, I think we called the operations manager has conversations with, Concordia. I think it was the same conversation or similar conversation with the with the leaf blowers with Fenwick across the street. So,
But I think it's more than just scale. I think it's, you know, using your purchasing power to say, we're going to spend a lot of money and we would also like to get, you know, 10 for the universities in town at as good a price as you can.
Well,
and you kind of include that. And if somebody can make you a better offer, then they get the, you know, they get the $370,000.
And you may find that the grant money buys you more for the village too. So if you can buy it.
Yeah. And I will also send you, the county has a, program called C-PACE. I'll send that to you as well. It's, basically like a long-term financing program for any sort of, energy conservation, environmental sustainability things, includes EV charging. So,
well, I'd go a step further and say, based on my experiences researching how to do this, you've got all these people around the village trying to figure this out on their own. I think it'd be a great service, and I don't know how realistic it would be, to provide some information about, hey, you want to be EV ready? Here's the things to consider, or here's what you need to do. Or, you know, I'm discovering all this stuff and I'm calling my brother in California, who's the expert for my condo. And I'm talking to my friends in the green condo group and everybody's figuring this out on their own, and not just condos. I mean, you know, other people too, but I wonder at some point if we couldn't maybe put something together and put it on the site.
Well, there is the, let me share my screen here in 1 minute. Let me pull it up first. There is the EV readiness page, and this was part of the EV readiness program that the village is a part of. So it's got benefits, a lot of links to different resources, finding public charging stations.
Yeah, but does it have anything about, you know, the process of getting, you know,
the like permitting process?
Well, beyond that, well, that's something. But, you know, do you have enough electricity to be able to do the, you know, the questions, the kind of a checklist of things you have to. I'll look at that. Yep. And see if that.
Yeah, there should be a link to like a permitting checklist, and there should be a link to the, like the ComEd, like, I can't remember what the exact term is, but to apply to ComEd to like increase your sort of load capacity to.
I think you're gonna get out your flow charting again.
Probably.
Okay, so if we have, what, about 15 minutes?
So let me see here. I just included the UIC memo that I'd written up last month, just in case anybody had some more to add. I have been doing some research on the forestry stuff, particularly what a heritage tree ordinance would look like. I've got some pretty good examples from some other communities all around the suburbs, basically. So I should have something for you all next month to just sort of begin discussion with that.
A good lead into that, though, would be from, you said you got a tree guy on the staff, right?
Yeah.
Some feedback from him, because again, I can look at that stuff and say, yeah, I think it's wonderful, or oh, I don't know about this, but something from him that would say, yeah, this makes sense, and here's what it would do. That's what I'm needing.
Yeah, because we're not tree experts.
Did anyone here end up, I know we talked about, I think you brought it up, about like doing, partnering with the library and doing library events. Did anyone?
Yeah, and I haven't had time to do anything since the last meeting. I apologize, but
You've done a ton. Don't discount yourself.
I'm now president of my HOA, and I've actually spent time on the EV issue. So, and by the way, I brought this to show everybody. I'm thrilled silly with this. My husband gets medical, you know, injectors once a month, and they have to be refrigerated. This is plant food in here. And so you can put it on your garden or you can pour it down the drain. And it's an environmentally friendly freezer pack. If anybody wants some, because we're getting them once a month for the rest of his life. So, and I can't use all the plant food.
When you say it's plant food, you know what exactly
it is? It's got nitrogen in it. I don't know exactly.
I'll take some.
Yeah. Wait, would you like this? I'll let you.
Sure. Okay.
Yeah. All right. But I think that is, and I looked up the company. I'm really impressed with that concept. I think it's cool.
I had a whole bunch of them, and we put them in my garden. They were kind of messy to begin with, mm-hmm. but it seemed like the garden took off very well this year. The only thing is the plastic outside. You know, I wish they kind of had a better.
But this is recyclable. I mean, they're
but
still...
It's scrunchy, though. Technically, I don't know. They probably throw it away, but...
No. You can. Those can be recycled with plastic bags.
At like Jewel or.
Yeah, but take them over to either Har Zion or Pilgrim because they're making plastic benches out of them. Yeah.
I was visiting a friend of mine in Greece, and I woke up in the morning. I said, "What do you mean there's no composting?" So I said, "Don't worry, I compost every day." So I got out the blender, and every morning I blended all of our stuff. And then I'd go into the backyard, which wasn't even soil. It was like clay. And I would dig a hole. And she said, "What about rats?" I said, "Don't worry. I'm doing this far away from the house." I also planted an herb garden, much to her surprise, among other things. But anyway, that was my trip. So I was busy, even though I wasn't here. And now Greece is a little more green. Are we done?
Yeah.
Amazingly. Yeah. Oh, yeah. You want to talk?
Yes.
I have a problem.
No, actually, now that I'm HOA president, I got a whole list. But anyway, that's tomorrow night's meeting. I only recently discovered that the EV Charging Act does not apply just to new construction. The last minute, bless our legislators, existing buildings have to permit a resident or renter in multifamily buildings. If they want to put a charger in, you have to permit them to do that. I can't permit it. Our building can't support it. I won't give you the whole nine yards, but I've spent a couple of weeks on this. And the only way that I can put in even one charging station is if I had a shared parking space, because I've got enough electric power and it's affordable to have one space. We're a building of 19 units. I have one person who's inquiring and he's not pushing. You know, he's not going to go sue me for not complying with the law, but he'd like to get an EV car, and he's waiting to see if we can support it. Our parking spaces are deeded. I don't have a shared space. I don't have the power of eminent domain, so I have no way to obtain a shared space. Our garage, you can't physically put chargers in there. There's no place to put it. We have outside spaces, but everyone doesn't have an outside space. In order to permit individual parking spaces, I have to bring more power into the building. We're talking $75,000 to $100,000 to do this. I have at least $200,000 worth of work to do in the next 2 years in my building, for which I'm going to need special assessments. I simply cannot do this.
Well,
and there's no appetite.
Something to discuss with like your attorney, because as I read...
No, that's not why I'm bringing it up.
As I read the law, if that person wants to put it in and it costs $175,000 to bring more power into the building, that's their cost.
Not exactly. Anyway, yeah, I mean, I'm not talking about it in terms of the legalities.
How can we help you, Luis?
I had a thought. I don't know how feasible it is, but in Oak Park, we had parking lots that you could rent a dedicated space that belonged to you. When I was a renter, I lived in a building that didn't have parking. We have some charging stations around the village, and I don't know how feasible it is to find places to do it, but wouldn't it be great if we had spaces that people could rent? Maybe overnight, maybe during the day, anybody could use the space. And at night, you've got space number 3, but it's not just a space. It's got a charging station. Okay. So for instance, I live along Lathrop. I don't know if I haven't looked to see if Lathrop has parking along that street, but what if you carved out a couple of parking spaces and put a couple of chargers there and allowed maybe the people in my building, maybe my building would pay so much a month to rent the space plus the charge point charges, you know, and no free every hour you pay. I don't know how feasible it'd be to do that around some of the buildings, because I've talked to some of my green condo buddies, and there are other buildings where they just simply don't have a good solution. So I actually, and you know this, Susan, because I think you were copied, but I actually sent a letter to our president and trustees suggesting that maybe there's some opportunity to do something like this to assist buildings where a retrofit just isn't financially or otherwise feasible.
Yeah.
We need a very big grant.
Yeah.
What's
probably. Like, well, like I say, I don't know how realistic it is, but just brainstorming.
All right. Well, good. Thanks for bringing it to our attention.
I don't believe I have anything else. So just quickly for communications, I just pulled that up. Let me see if I can share this again. Mm-hmm. So there's a, oh, did I not share it? I did not.
Do you have a monthly spot coming up? Because
yes, I actually, that was the one that I have a blank for. I've been,
which month?
October or November.
Okay. What would be the deadline for October?
That would be the end of this week.
Okay. No, I can do that. So I just real quickly, since we have a minute, I'll talk about this, but, so Seth has talked about the EV readiness that we had hoped to be in the current cohort, and, but we'll actually be in the third one. Yep. And so we were invited to, I guess Gary, Seth, and I were invited to go to the ceremony for this current cohort. And I went because it was at Argonne. Like, when else am I going to be able to see Argonne? And I was just, you know, I was just blown away by all that they're doing for EV, because I just thought of them as, I don't know, like the atomic bomb people or something. Not like, and it was really, really, really impressive. I felt like, I mean, I'm probably behind on this, but I felt like I was stepping into the future 10 years, and it just gave me so much hope. That so much was being going on. And I thought, you know, around the country, there must be so much more that we don't know about. So a little injection of hope. But I also received this guideline on going solar, and I think I could easily make this into a monthly thing. So I will do October.
Yeah. So just give everyone a quick rundown of.
I also got Seth's son this really cool magic bar car of an EV vehicle.
You might not know this. There is an all-electric rally car racing thing where it's like off-road only electric vehicles called Extreme E, where they just like go to like these insane terrains and it's only electric vehicles. That's what that one looks like. But yeah, just to give everyone a rundown, one of Luis's weekly submissions on rechargeable batteries is running this week. Fingers crossed, knock on wood, we'll get the community survey out next week. Hazardous waste sign up is end of the month, so I'm putting that there. Electronic waste sign up is tomorrow for everyone, just for your awareness.
That's the deadline.
Yes, tomorrow for e-waste, collection is next week on your regular pickup day. And then HHW, it's just some point in October that they will let you know. And then there's our traditional October things, tree trails, leave the leaves, pumpkin smash. So we should be good up until November.
Thank you all. Motion to adjourn. I should say before that, does anybody have anything? How about our youth over here? We haven't heard from you. You're all good.
Nothing to add.
You what? Nothing to add. Anybody? No? Okay. Motion to adjourn.
Second.
All right. Co-Chair Charette?
Yes.
Co-Chair Lennon?
Yes.
Commissioner Beasy?
Yes.
Commissioner Haley?
Yes.
Commissioner Mazzatesta?
Yes.
Commissioner Cadlick?
Yes.
Commissioner Avalos?
Yes.
It is 8:26. We are adjourned.